If you work in quality control at a candy factory, you know strict safety regulations come with the job. It's why you partner with Grainger. Grainger helps you find the high-quality and compliant products your business needs to inspect, detect, and help correct issues. And the sweetest part is, everyone gets a product that's as safe to eat as it is delicious. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, happy Monday to you, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Wow, have you ever just had one of those Mondays where it's just been wall-to-wall-to-wall-to-wall meetings, and that is, that's exactly what it's been like since the crack of dawn today. Anyway, great to be able to hang out with you for the next 3 hours of conservative conversation. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a jam-packed show for you. I will say this as we gear up for tomorrow's big national address, President Trump addressing a joint session of Congress. He will be addressing the nation, and we're gonna analyze the president's remarks. There are some Democrats who are actually planning on boycotting, and I wish I could tell you I was surprised, but I'm not. These Democrats have lost their ever-loving minds, and so has the mainstream media, by the way. Now, look, I want to jump back to what happened Friday during this radio program when you had the president of the United States dressing down Volodymyr Zelensky. And by the way, that didn't take much because the guy was wearing something you would wear not even to a nightclub. I mean, the guy was, I don't understand why people are showing up. And this goes for Elon Musk, too. I think when you're going to the White House, you need to be dressed up. You need to show some respect to the presidency. You may not like the president of the United States. That's fine. I get it. But you should still have the decency to dress up and wear a suit. So anyway, President Trump is getting the what for. Over the weekend, all the mainstream media outlets have been talking about how the United States embarrassed itself. Look, here's the deal. And I watched a little bit of the Oscars last night as well. Hollywood, this goes for you, too. You know, if you guys are so pro-Ukraine, why are you here? Why haven't you divested yourself of all of your personal belongings? Why haven't you sold all your real estate and your fancy airplanes? Why haven't you given all of that money to the Ukrainians? And better yet, Garth Brooks and Trisha Yearwood, I don't know if you saw the video that's been going around, but anyway, Garth and Trisha they're huge Ukrainian fans, and they love Ukraine. And they put out this video talking about how it's so important that we, the hardworking people of America, turn over our cash to Ukraine. Well, I hate to break it to you, but we've already been doing that. Hundreds of billions of dollars of our tax money being squandered over there. So my recommendation to Garth and Trisha and all the other folks out there, you know, if you're so passionate about Ukraine, and you had, there were a lot of people at the Oscars, they were wearing tuxedos and ball gowns and the colors of the Ukrainian flag. Look, if you people love Ukraine so much, go over there. Why aren't you fighting on the front lines? As a matter of fact, Garth, why aren't you doing a concert, like a USO-style concert for the Ukrainian troops? Why don't you go over there and fight the Russians? Have fun. But you see, this is the problem with Congress right now, ladies and gentlemen. And by the way, Trump's already starting to have some pushback from Republicans on this. Because there are Republicans on Capitol Hill that are pro-Ukraine, and they don't like any of this. And my question to Garth and Trisha is very simple. I want to know how much USAID money was given to them to make that statement. Because we now know, thanks to the work of the DOGE committee, that all of these Hollywood types that were out there and they were They were worshiping Ukraine and weeping for Ukraine. It was all a paid endorsement. They were being hired to be spokesbabes for Volodymyr Zelensky. I'm just telling you, that's it. It's all about the Benjamins with the Hollywood crowd when it comes to Ukraine. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It just is. Now, I want to explain something to you. There's a little bit of video going around from something that Zelensky said, and I want to hear your thoughts on this. So the reality is this, that Volodymyr Zelensky is a coward, and we know that because this man is not personally on the front lines fighting the war. Do you know the average age right now of a Ukrainian fighting in the war is in their late 40s, early 50s? You know why? Because all the young men are dead, gone. Zelensky is running out of bodies. So he wants the sons and daughters of America to fight this war. And the guy is not stupid. The reason why that there has been such a push to make Ukraine part of NATO is because if one of our NATO allies is attacked, it's an attack on all. And at that point, the United States would be obligated to go in and fight a war. So what happened over the weekend? A couple of things. First of all, you had Zelensky out there, and Zelensky knows this. So I believe this was last year when he was doing an interview, and he was talking about this idea of what would happen if Ukraine was a part of NATO, and then all of a sudden Ukraine was again attacked by Russia. Here's what Zelensky said would happen. Cut three.
The U.S. will have to send their sons and daughters exactly the same way as we are sending their sons and daughters to war. And they will have to fight because it's NATO that we're talking about. And they will be dying.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That's what this is ultimately all about. So now Zelensky is over there, and he's being treated like royalty. As a matter of fact, the guy, what a slob. This guy didn't even bother to change clothes. And I don't want to get too terribly personal here, but, sir, you know, you got to go to the Walgreens. I'm sure they got a Walgreens over there in London, and get at least a stick of the deodorant. You got to do something about that, sir. So you got Zelensky out there. Now the Prime Minister of the UK is saying they are going to put British boots on the ground and British fighter jets in the sky. Well, guess what's going to happen? Sooner or later, those British troops are going to come under attack. UK, part of NATO, then we're going to be dragged into this. So here's my recommendation. Europe is on their own. You know what? They have never proven that they can exist without the United States of America. It's time for the United States to seriously consider pulling out of NATO. And Trump has been really frustrated with NATO because they're not paying their bills. We're having to pay most of the money that it costs to run NATO is coming out of our pocketbooks. And what do we get for it? We get the rude looks. We get treated like jerks. They sneer at us. They look down on us. You know what? Fine. You know what? We don't need this. Europe, you're on your own. How long do you think Europe would last? And by the way, it's not even so much about the Russians they need to be worried about. It's the Islamic radicals because they're taking over Western Europe right now. That's a story for another day. But I'm telling you right now that Zelensky is very shrewd here, and he is going to use NATO to drag the United States kicking and screaming into this conflict. Trump was absolutely right when he said to Zelensky's face, "You are dragging us to this is World War III." He said it over and over and over again. And it is isn't it interesting, by the way, that here you have a man, Donald Trump, a Republican, and Donald Trump is the man who wants peace. It used to be the Democrat Party. They're the ones who didn't want to go into war. But now Donald Trump is a man of peace. We got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. I'm just curious, what do you think about Donald Trump's performance in the Oval Office on Friday? Do you think it was appropriate? Do you think it was inappropriate? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Folks, we have some exciting news about MyPillow. They're having their first ever mega sale. Oh, that was... We needed some sound effects.
Where did that come from?
Mega sale. MyPillow having their first ever mega sale on overstock clearance and brand new products. For example, Ben Dieter, you're going to need these. You need 50%. You're going to save over 50% on flannel sheets. Queen size bed only $59.98. King size sheets $69.98. And they sell out fast every year. So you gotta get an order that right now. You can also save 30% on their brand new My Crosses. They're designed in the likeness of the one that Mike Lindell has worn every day for over 20 years. They come in men's and women's styles, and they're made right here in the USA. Get the 2025 six-piece My Towel set for only $29.98. Their quantities are extremely low, so you're going to want to get them now before they go. And I can't forget to mention the best-selling standard MyPillow. I have six of them. I like a lot of pillows. $14.98. That is a huge deal. So take advantage of the first-ever mega sale. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. That's 1-800-839-8506. But wait! There's more! Remember that $75 free shipping rule, Ben Dieter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that ship has sailed, baby. The train has left the station. Because right now, for a limited time, every order at MyPillow ships for free. MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506.
Hi, everyone. Tom Mustin here for the Legal Help Center. If you or someone you know were diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma within the past 20 years, listen up. You could be entitled to significant compensation. For years, the weed killer Roundup was used in homes, farms, and gardens. And now studies have proved a direct link between Roundup and this deadly cancer. So, if you or someone you know have been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, call us and find out if you qualify for a cash settlement. Call 800-266-6200. That's 800-266-6200. Time to file a claim is running out, so don't delay. The call is free, the consultation is free, and you can find out if you qualify for a monetary reward. Call 800-266-6200. That's 800-266-6200. Call now. Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
Hi, Todd. Just want to say I love President Trump's idea of inviting wealthy people from around the world to be vetted and then pay $5 million for a gold citizenship card and bring their wealth with them to the USA. I think it's just great. And by the way, I loved the way that he told Zelensky off.
Yeah, well, I did too. There, that's Kim, by the way, from Shields, Michigan. And Kim listening online and sending us a shout out. She's listening to us on our app. By the way, you can download that app right now over at toddstearns.com. And you can leave us a shout out as well. Very simple. It takes all of 30 seconds. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. 901-260-5926. Let's start our day in Iowa. Toby is listening to us on the great KXEL. Hi, Toby. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Todd. I wanted to talk about Ukraine, but before that, I just wanted to commend Trump. His deal-making skills are the best. That he was able to get the Romanians to release the Tate brothers. We love pedophiles and sex traffickers, so it's great.
Okay, yeah, we're done with you, Toby. Yeah, we're done with you. Yeah, we don't have the time for people like this moron. Let's go to Charles in North Carolina listening to us on WSIC. Hi, Charles, what's on your mind?
Hey, happy Monday, Todd. Todd, I just want to say I think your assessment of what Zelensky's trying to do as far as drawing the United States into a conflict is spot on. I mean, it's just, what else could it be? You know, I watched that interview yesterday with Starmer and what Starmer said about planes in the air and boots on the ground. And, Todd, I think what needs to happen, and I wish Trump would take the opportunity tomorrow night in the State of the Union address, but I think he needs to tell Europe, tell you what, you put troops in Ukraine, and if they're attacked and killed by the Russians, it's on you. We're not coming to your aid. And we don't care if the Russian troops are in Ukraine or whether they're on the doorsteps of 10 Downing Street. That fight is on you. Because that's what they're trying to do. Trump was very appropriate last week. The way he talked to Zelensky. Zelensky was disrespectful in the way he addressed J.D. Vance. And he never had any intention of signing that mineral deal. It was all just a smoke and mirror.
It was. And we're getting some intel that he actually met with some Democrats, including former members of the Biden administration and Obama administration, before even going into the Oval Office. And they're the ones who told him to behave the way he did. And it just seems to me, Charles, those individuals are in violation of the Logan Act, and they ought to be arrested and they ought to be prosecuted. I'm tired of this nonsense. And we've got to start playing hardball with these people.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, as far as NATO membership goes, Todd, you know, NATO was formed in the late 1940s to prevent Russian invasion of Western Europe because Europe was destroyed. Well, NATO has served its purpose. The Warsaw Pact is gone. The Soviet Union has dissolved into 15 separate countries. And NATO's purpose is finished, and I think we should just declare victory, get out of NATO, let the Europeans defend themselves, and take care of America first. And I think President Trump is thinking down that road.
Well, I hope he is, Charles, because this is where we need to go. Otherwise, we are going to be drawn into what will become World War III, and Trump is aggressively doing what is necessary to make sure that doesn't happen. Charles, great call as always. Thank you for listening. Rick Grinnell says, we're talking about serious behavior here. We understand Antony Blinken, Victoria Nuland, Susan Rice. You've got Vindman all telling Zelensky before the meeting to go in there and to say no to Trump's deal. That is a direct Logan Act violation, and these people need to be held accountable. Let's go to Anna in Dahlonega, Georgia. Hi, Anna, listening to us on WDUN. What's going on?
Yes, sir. I would love for us to come out of NATO. And I'll tell you, I was energized by J.D. Vance's speech over Munich. That was long overdue. And you had even some sniffling leaders of their own countries look like fools. Which, you know, you need to watch this. This is, if you listen and you watch people, they will tell you who they are. And that's pretty much, J.D. Vance is a statesman. President Trump is a statesman. I'm glad that he didn't do what he did behind closed doors. That's exactly the man we voted for. What we see is what we ask for and what we're getting, and I am so happy to see that the president is just a remarkable. He reminds me a lot of Teddy Roosevelt. He really does. He's on it, and I am grateful for everything that has happened with him, with Vance, with Musk. This is it. The party is over.
You know, Anna, when you step back for a moment and just take a look at what's been happening across Western Europe, and I think you're right, J.D. Vance's speech, the vice president's speech, it really did expose what Western Europe has become. And the reality is they no longer share our values. They don't cherish religious liberty. They don't cherish free speech or the right to bear arms. This is a region of the world that stands in opposition to what we believe in now. So my question is, why should we step in and try to save these people when they're the ones that are about to fall? And by the way, it's not going to be Russia. You watch. They will fall to Islam. That's ultimately the bigger problem here. The globalists have opened up the borders, and guess what happened? All of those countries were flooded with Islamic radicals, and now those countries are being overrun. And there was, we'll play some of this a little bit later on. There's a Catholic priest, I believe he's an, I don't know if he's a cardinal, but he's high up there in the Catholic world, and he's out there warning Europe, we are being overrun here. As a matter of fact, we'll play that a little bit later on. But Anna, to your point, I'm with you. I think there's really no point in us staying in NATO. Anna, gotta run. Thank you for that call. Folks, we are opening up the phone lines. Should we stay in NATO? Also, wanted to get your take on President Trump and how he's handling Zelensky. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. All right, folks, don't forget, head over to ToddStarnes.com right now. All sorts of great content for you. Also want to make sure that you're checking out some of our great sponsors, including our friends at Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. PatriotMobile.com/Todd is the website. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd. You can check out their website, check out their coverage. If you're a veteran, if you are a first responder, they have some incredible deals just for you. PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back.
The Trump administration when you subscribe to the Trump Report. This email brings you daily highlights from the Oval Office right to your inbox 5 days a week. Subscribe to the Trump Report.
All right, we have that audio from the British Prime Minister. Let's take a listen to what he had to say about what's about to happen in Ukraine.
First, we will keep the military aid flowing and keep increasing the economic pressure on Russia to strengthen Ukraine now. Second, we agreed that any lasting peace must ensure Ukraine's sovereignty and security, and Ukraine must be at the table. Third, in the event of a peace deal, we will keep boosting Ukraine's own defensive capabilities to deter any future invasion. Fourth, we will go further to develop a coalition of the willing to defend a deal in Ukraine and to guarantee the peace. Not every nation will feel able to contribute, but that can't mean that we sit back. Instead, those willing will intensify planning now with real urgency. The UK is prepared to back this with boots on the ground and planes in the air, together with others. Europe must do the heavy lifting. But to support peace in our continent and to succeed, this effort must have strong US backing.
Well, that's not going to happen unless the British troops come under fire, and then we've got Article 5 to worry about in the NATO charter. I want to go to Frank in New Bern, North Carolina, listening to us on the talk station. And Frank, I know that you want to weigh in on Article 5.
Yes, Todd. Article 5 states that if any NATO country gets attacked, then we all have to respond. Nobody attacked a NATO country. If Europe wants to go it alone and defend Ukraine, then that would be on them.
Yeah, and again, Frank. No, I'm trying to answer you here, Frank. So yes, that is true. However, if the UK decides to jump into this fight, then and they come under attack, they will use that incident as the mechanism to trigger Article 5. So that's, I mean, it's a pretty devious plot. I don't think that Trump's going to buy into it. And Trump ought to tell NATO, you guys go in and you guys are sending your troops. You're on your own. This is not our fight. And Trump has every right to say that. As a matter of fact, Frank, I'd be willing to say that the majority of the American people feel the exact same way.
Yep. I think they're already at war. It's not like, you know, it was an attack before this. They're willingly and knowingly going into a war. So if they get attacked, you're going to get attacked if you go into a war.
They're shutting Zelensky's shutting down the churches. He's declared martial law. They haven't had elections. I mean, you want to talk about a dictatorship. They're coming pretty darn close to one if they do not already have one in place in Ukraine right now. So this is, they've got big, big problems here. Not to mention the corruption is off the charts. Frank, I got to run. Appreciate that call. By the way, you know, all this talk about, I was watching CNN and the anchorettes, the lady anchors were hyperventilating over the weekend.
Oh, he was so mean. He was such a mean, mean man. There was no decorum.
Really? Well, it's interesting because it turns out that Joe Biden and Zelensky had a pretty testy phone call, so much so that Joe Biden was screaming at Zelensky and telling him to be more gracious. Nobody called out Joe Biden then. I mean, nobody. As a matter of fact, it was Joe Biden, if you remember, back during the Obama administration, when Joe Biden actually threatened Ukraine. You will either do this or we're going to yank your funding. And I believe the phrase SOB was used in some of that. It's all on video. It's all on video. So there is a long history of Ukraine and Ukrainian leaders behaving like jerks. And that's exactly what Zelensky did. Now we know that Zelensky behaved the way he did as a result of these former Obama officials, Susan Rice being chief among them. And I think every single one of them, they ought to be brought up on charges. Let's go to Memphis, Tennessee. Johnny, listening to us on KWAM, our flagship station. Hi, Johnny. What's going on?
What a disgrace to the American people and to the American public, the way Trump and J.D. Vance done Zelensky. That was just a disgrace. And
what was disgraceful about it?
That all that is just like half of America said, it lines right up with the Russian agenda. And, Todd, you're such a liar. You're such a liar.
What did I lie about, Johnny?
You don't have any proof. You don't have any proof that Obama and them Democrats talked to Zelensky and told him to say that. And then you're such a liar. Tell me that Zelensky started the war. Tell me.
It doesn't matter. It's not our war. Why is that our war, Johnny? Why?
Tell me.
Would you be willing to go over and fight?
That's the problem right there, that you maggot morons would sit up and lie for Trump.
What are we lying about? What are we lying about, Johnny? What are we lying about?
Everything. And
what do you mean everything? All right, fine. So I'm lying about everything. So this should be very easy. Name one thing. One thing.
It is easy.
One thing, Johnny. One thing. I'm just waiting for you. Clock's a ticking.
Oh, another thing about the USA. Hey,
he can't do it, can he?
No, you don't have no proof whatsoever that these people receive money from USAA.
Oh, yes, we do, Johnny. Oh, the Doge Committee, they've got the receipts, Johnny, that all of these Hollywood celebrities, they were getting paid for their weeping and for their... Oh, the poor little Ukrainians. We have to help them. They were all getting paid for it. They suckered you in, Johnny, and all of us.
You want to say Zelensky's a coward? Trump's a coward. He wouldn't even go to war. He wouldn't even go to the Vietnam War. Deferred three times for a darn bone spur. Now, who is
Hey, bone spurs are very painful, but we're not talking about the Vietnam War. We're talking about right now. Why should American boys and girls... Why should they put their lives on the line for Volodymyr Zelensky? Why, Johnny?
God, have you ever seen an unqualified white man? Have you ever, you know, name me one.
What are we talking about? You see, Johnny, this is the problem. You've made all these accusations. I've given you plenty of time, over almost 3 minutes, Johnny, to at least just prove one of your points. You said, I lie about everything. And I said, Johnny, give me one thing, and you can't do it. So, Johnny, when you come back, we're not banning you from the show, but I want you to be prepared. So come back to the show, and I want you to come armed with facts. But right now, you're just blowing hot air, and it's getting a little warm in here. Johnny, goodbye. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Folks, you got to come to this program armed. You got to come ready to have a conversation, have a debate. By the way, here's Vindman on CNN talking about J.D. Vance, cut number four.
J.D. Vance owns, but let me Zelensky finish. An apology. President Trump owes Zelensky an apology for the way he's treated.
For what?
I demand it.
What?
I demand that they give
you demand. Okay, so if you're UN resolution
if
number
you're
two,
you're going to go ahead and say preposterous things like Zelensky owes an apology for being attacked. I'm going to go ahead and say something outrageous. Actually, I'm going to go ahead.
Price of you say that Ukraine
guys,
wants
I think
peace.
J.D. Vance should resign. Hold on. How about that? We're just going to go through crazy stuff into the air.
I mean, you can go on and on and on. But again, Donald Trump did what other presidents have not done, which is stand up for the American people. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad. I'm glad. It made me proud to be an American watching not only Donald Trump, but Vice President J.D. Vance call out that smelly little poorly dressed slob of a man to his face. Shame on you. The next time, Mr. Zelensky, you're invited to the Oval Office, you better wear a suit and put on some deodorant, sir. It's a pretty darn low bar. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. May I just point out something? This is a little controversial. I know a lot of you folks out there are huge Pam Bondi fans, and I am too, which is why I'm just pretty darn perplexed over what's been going on. And we're going to talk about this, but I will say that a deadline had been set. The deadline has come, and the deadline has gone. And we still don't have any information about Epstein. We've got no information about anything. And I hate to break this to you, but you're never going to see it. And I'll explain why in just a moment. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Keep up with the Trump administration when you subscribe to the Trump Report. This email brings you daily highlights from the Oval Office right to your inbox 5 days a week. Subscribe to the Trump Report.
All right, we have full lines, ladies and gentlemen. So if you're getting a busy signal, keep dialing and hold on. We're going to get to your calls. I want to go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend, Congressman Josh Brakeen from Oklahoma's 2nd Congressional District joins us. Congressman, hope you had a good weekend. Hope you're doing well today.
Thank you, Todd. Glad to be with you.
So a lot going on here, Congressman, and not just with what's happening in Ukraine, but also right here at home. And you guys are barreling towards a shutdown deadline in Congress. What's the very latest on the House budget resolution?
Well, so the resolution actually is tied into this one big, beautiful bill concept that our committee, the Budget Committee, helped put together as of 2 weeks ago. It's being floated now on the Senate. There's a lot of consternation from the Senate side. My great hope is the Senate understands how difficult that was to pass out of the House, and that they don't go too much in depth of trying to remake it, because we only had one vote to lose on the House side. But that reconciliation bill that you keep hearing everyone talk about, it ties into this middle of March deadline on the discretionary spending, because in tandem with what we're trying to do with budget neutrality and cut and all the things that it's going to take to extend the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act and the things that President Trump wanted to do, we also have an agreement put in the reconciliation instructions that we would hold the discretionary spending flat for the next 2 years. And so this all is in tandem. It's all going to work together. We're willing to do some things on the defense side, in the mandatory, on the reconciliation side, as long as we get commitment that the 12 appropriation bills the discretionary side, that we can hold it flat. We do all those things. If we can hold it flat and the things we want to do within the reconciliation side on the mandatory spending, it gives us a chance to save $750 billion over a 10-year period.
You think that sounds like a lot of money, but at the end of the day, it's really not when you consider how much, you know, this country's already in debt. But it's better than nothing, I suppose.
That's the last part of your comment is what, you know, in reality, what we've done in setting this framework, it would be 400 times more the cut that Congress has ever done. Is that a sad pronouncement? It is, Todd. But at least we're trying to teach some of our colleagues that are really resistant to cutting in general, because waste has a constituency. At least we would start the process. People have to go home and answer. And then they go, wait a minute, you mean I can vote for cuts and I give people the rationale we're trying to save this country and I won't lose my election? That's the fear mongering. That's the resistance, even within the Republican Party, that's made really turning our rhetoric in reality, turning savings cuts into something we actually execute on. That's why for, you know, 30 and 40 years, the Republican Party has gotten a bad rap on this, because we've not proven true to our rhetoric. And
well,
it gives us a chance to start going down that pathway.
No, yeah, look, 1,000% accurate here. You know, the last thing that the Republicans have is being fiscally accountable, and you know, that's sort of been hit or miss, mostly miss lately. So the Senate, we were hearing last week and week before last, we were hearing that the Senate's plan would not have the cuts. Are you hearing that as well?
Well, that's what I started off saying. My great hope is the Senate doesn't go in and mess around with this thing.
Yeah.
Because we balanced. I was in the room with, you know, four or five others. Huge shout out to West Texas Congressman Jody Anderson, our Budget Committee Chairman, Chip Roy, Paul Winfrey, came up with this really great concept, pulling on something that was done in 2001, where we can adjust the dials, meaning as we can get more cuts and more savings, we can do more things with tax, the ways and means side, on the tax structure side. But it all is dependent upon having the courage to execute upon finding the savings and the inefficiencies. What DOGE is doing on the discretionary side, we're trying to do on the mandatory side. And the reality is, God, everybody wants to run. There's a great article, I think Wall Street Journal said, who's afraid of Medicaid cuts or Medicaid reforms? The able-bodied population now is the largest subgroup on Medicaid. It's no longer the blind, the disabled, the elderly, the pregnant or nursing mother, which is what the program was designed for. FGA, Federation of Government Accountability, says that it is now the able-bodied population, the largest subgroup on Medicaid. The Democrats are moving us because of how they've rolled this out, and Biden expedited it through executive orders. They have turned Medicaid into socialized health care for able men, able to work, and they are displacing the real purpose for the service providing for the elderly, the disabled. They're becoming less important in terms of service provisions compared to the able-bodied guy who's, you know, utilizing socialized health care.
Yeah,
and one more funny stat. Our population since 2012 has grown as a nation 6%. The Medicaid population since that same time frame, post-Obama, the Medicaid population has grown 60%.
Wow.
It's unsustainable.
1,000%. Well, Congressman, look, we really appreciate you coming on. I know you've been super busy today, but we appreciate the great work that you're doing up on Capitol Hill. And we're going to get you back in for a longer conversation.
Appreciate it, sir.
All right. Congressman Josh Brkeen, ladies and gentlemen, out of Oklahoma's 2nd Congressional District. And he's right. I mean, this is going to be a huge battle, and the Senate and Senate Republicans are about to send back to the House what is going to be a massive, massive budget resolution. And it's just, we're not going to be able to do it. All right, let's go to the phones real quick here. I want to go to Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. Mike is listening to us on the line on the talk station and wants to respond to Johnny. Hi, Mike. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Todd. I'm going to tell you, man, he fired me up. He fired me up because I did 24 years in the Marine Corps, and I'm going to tell you right now, he is the perfect example of someone who has listened to the Democrats for his entire life and didn't do his own homework and has no idea what he's talking about.
Yeah, you know, I hate it for him. We give these liberals, and we love it when liberals call. I like to have the debate, the conversation, but, Mike, you got to come prepared.
Well, you just got to do your research.
That's it.
Before you start talking out of the side of your neck, because that's exactly what he was doing.
you know, I recruited for the Marine Corps, and I'm going to tell you right now, not everybody's qualified. So to hold that on somebody 40, 50, 60 years later just isn't fair.
Mike, I'm curious, how long have you been in the Marine Corps?
Well, I retired almost 20 years ago, so I did 24 years on active duty. So,
well, we appreciate you serving our great nation, and we love the Marines. You guys are just amazing and unbelievable what you're able to do out there and the training. We have great respect for you guys here on this program. Mike, thank you for calling in. I wish we could talk a little bit longer, but the computer's going to cut us off. Mike, thank you. God bless you out there at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. Great, great military community out there. All right, folks, gotta take a quick break. We have some exciting news to share with you right after the top of the hour news. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, it is hour two of the big show. Trust you are doing well today, my friends. And every year we take a week out of our schedule. Or is it a month? We take a little bit of time out of the show. And we do something which I think is very important. And you guys have been so gracious and so generous. And it's really remarkable. And we're not asking for you to, you know, donate, you know, $20,000 unless, you know, you want to. And then we can all wrap it up in just one day. But every year at this time, we raise money for an organization that feeds children. And for me, this is a hugely important thing because these kids, they can't help the circumstances they're born into. And I remember when I was a young reporter, and this goes all the way back to the late 80s, early 90s. I remember going to interview a family in their home, and I was just stunned because their home had dirt floors. They were living in dirt. I mean, this is the 1990s, and it was just really jaw-dropping for me, and it was a wake-up call to know that there is extreme poverty all over the world, including right here in the good old U.S. of A. And so this is one of the reasons why we've been partnering with Food for the Poor. You might remember we did an emergency appeal back during Hurricane Helene and raised over $20,000 to help the people of Western North Carolina and Eastern Tennessee. And now we're fundraising for this is our regular annual appeal. And we want you to become a part of this. And here's the deal. You can donate whatever you want, but we're asking for $100, a one-time gift of $100. And that one-time gift of $100 is going to provide a wonderful daily school nutrition meal for a year. This is a big deal. And I want you to make a generous gift. All right. I want you to write down this telephone number. I'm going to give you a chance to get something to write this number down. But again, this is something that's going to be very exciting for us. And we want you to help us out. Look, one of the reasons why kids aren't going to school is because of malnutrition. They're not getting good food at home. And so we want to do something about that. We want the kids to be able to focus on learning rather than worrying about where they're going to get their next meal. And that's where we come in. This is all about charity. This is how it should work, right? We want to invest in the lives of these kids. So I want you to write down this telephone number, and we're going to get a banner up. We'll have some website stuff up in the next day or two. But right now, we are launching our efforts. So write down this telephone number, 855-353-4673. Let me repeat that again, 855-353-4673. and you're going to be able to talk to somebody. They're going to give you an opportunity to make a gift. It may be $5. Thank you for that. It may be $100. Thank you for that. Or it could even be $1,000. God bless you. And whatever you can give, we know that God is going to just bless that tremendously. And he's going to bless you as well for being a part of this wonderful effort as we once again partner with Food for the Poor. They are doing some tremendous work out there, and I just can't tell you enough about the great work they did for the people of Western North Carolina and Eastern Tennessee. So anyway, it's a great opportunity. I want to give you the telephone number one more time, and that number is 855-353-4673. Again, 855-353-4673. All right. Can we talk about the mayor of Boston for just a moment? Michelle Liu is her name. So over the weekend, there was an off-duty cop, and the off-duty cop was over to Chick-fil-A, and he noticed that that there was some insane dude with a knife. And this insane dude was actually trying to attack and stab this couple. And so they're rushing into a Chick-fil-A, and this is all happening in Boston, and they're rushing into a Chick-fil-A, and they're saying, oh, wait a second, we need help. And so the off-duty officer is there, and he has his service revolver. He identifies himself as a cop and tells the guy, hey, look, you've got to stop what you're doing right now. The guy refused to. And so the off-duty cop shot the guy. He died at the hospital. So the mayor comes out, the police commissioner comes out, and they're holding a press conference. And they're literally telling people that they're offering condolences to the dead lunatic. Forget about the victims here. Forget about the fact that a poor cop had to shoot this lunatic. Forget about the fact that there were two people that could have been stabbed to death had it not been for the cop. No, no, no. According to the mayor of Boston, the true victim in all of this is the dead knife-wielding lunatic. She said she offered her condolences to the guy. And the same for the police commissioner. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is once again why you can't ever elect Democrats, because they're pro-criminal. They're pro-criminal. As a matter of fact, in this world, it doesn't matter who you are, the criminal is always considered to be a victim when it comes to the Democrat Party. I know that sounds crazy, but that's just what happened in Boston. People are freaking out about it. The Boston Herald was coming after me, wrote something nasty. I don't care, but it's true. Within the mindset of the Democrat Party these days, the bad guys are the victims. So if, let's just say you've been carjacked, which is about everybody in Memphis, Tennessee, at least once. Let's just say you've been carjacked. You're the bad guy because you allowed a person to become a criminal because you allowed them to steal your car. That's the mindset of the Democrats. These people are lunatics. By the way, did you catch Saturday Night Live last night or Saturday night? Who's your guy, Dylan? This is your comedian guy. You're going to see him in Boston.
That's right. Well, he's in Birmingham.
Or Birmingham. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Shane Gillis is his name.
Shane Gillis. Did you watch his opening monologue?
I caught a little bit of it.
Everybody's saying, oh, it's brilliant. I don't know. It looked like he was nervous or something. It looked like he was off his game a little bit.
Yeah, some of the jokes fell flat for me, but, you know.
Yeah, it's going to happen. Can't always win. Yeah, I know. And it was a tough crowd.
Yeah, of course.
But I think you just have to go for it.
Yeah, you have to.
But he nailed a couple of very inappropriate jokes, I thought.
He tends to do that.
So there was a skit on SNL, and I was surprised by this because they're sort of embracing race-based jokes, which can we all just admit here, and Ben Dieter, you can weigh in on this, those are sometimes the funniest jokes, right? I mean, I love kind of laughing at redneck jokes or white people jokes. I just think that's funny.
It's funny, but you can't laugh about it anymore. I was kind of shocked when they did, in the way that they did. because it's always a joke to laugh at white people. Like, that's acceptable. That's passable.
That is true, though. When you're watching, like, TV or movies in general, they do make a lot. And the jokes are kind of funny, but they make fun of white people. And yeah. They're typically black actors, and they're, you know, they're having fun at the expense of white people. And I mean, it's pretty funny stuff, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But don't you do that to a black person. They will come after you. I'm just saying, you can't make it. It's only a one-way joke these days. So anyway, that being said, I just thought this skit last night was sort of funny. Cut 14.
The suspects are believed to be four white...
Yes! I know that's right.
I'm sorry, what's going on? Nothing.
Yeah, just relieved that the police have white identified the suspects.
Exactly. Very white. Okay, crime is crime, and we're all relieved.
Oh, sure, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Well, it's shaping up to be quite a busy week for local law enforcement as police deliver on their promise to crack down on the increasing drug traffic.
Uh-oh.
Not drugs.
A raid early this morning uncovered a major meth ring.
Okay, we do.
That's y'all for sure.
That's great.
In a quiet suburban neighborhood.
Now, you know.
Know what?
That they ain't one of us, okay?
Well, how do you know that? Meth. Quiet. Come on now. All right. Let's see the picture.
Why are you entertaining this stupid game?
Because we're down 2-0, Suzanne. You want to lose? Show the picture.
Lose what? Police say they are still on the lookout for this man.
Breaking bad looking ass. That's 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let me do one. Police are looking for looters. Huh? You hear that? These looters were spotted after wildfires devastated homes in Hunt Valley Township. Looters.
Okay, just read the story.
That's enough.
Looks like they stole televisions, bikes. Who do you think that was? What color do you think that was?
Poor job, Dale.
All right. Police are on the lookout for the alleged ringleader, a local man named Ethan Kapowski. Damn it.
Well, there you go. I didn't see that one coming. I had a sneaking suspicion until he gave out the last name.
So, I know, right? They actually did do some ones where it was actually black people doing the crimes. I will mm-hmm. have to say that, but it's a long clip.
I just thought it was funny because the audience didn't know if it was okay to laugh. You could feel the tension. It's just hilarious. Many of you will remember going back in time to the 1970s and 80s. That was really the golden era of TV where you had shows like The Jeffersons, All in the Family, Sanford and Son. And there were things that were said on national television that today would get you canceled for the rest of your life and possibly sent to Ukraine. They would deport you to Ukraine. If you said half the things on Sanford and Son like today, I don't think you could. I just don't think they would let you survive that. So anyway, I'm glad that SNL is trying to, I don't know what they're trying to do, but good luck to you there. Trying to be back a little racial humor, I suppose. Interesting. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. As we go to break, just a reminder, this is a great chance for you to pick up the phone and call and join day one of our effort to raise money so we can feed kids. The number to call, 855-353-4673. That's 855-353-4673. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. I want to go back to a video that was posted by Bishop Schneider, who was discussing from a Catholic perspective what's been happening in Europe with mass migration. And his comments are getting him rebuked in many of these countries because they're saying his opinions now violate laws governing hate speech. So this is what he said that got him in trouble. Cut number six.
Yes, this is very serious. Now we are witnessing an invasion. They are not refugees. No, this is an invasion of mass Islamization of Europe, which already went on for at minimum 50, 60 years, Islamization in Europe. But now it is in mass. It is very evident. And so this is a global political agenda by the powerful of the world to destroy Europe culturally and religiously. I mean, to destroy Christianity ultimately in Europe, with the help of the Islamic, massive Islamic population. And I was reading recently an article of a sociologist who made a calculation that maybe in 30 or 40 years, when it's now going on, so the majority of the population of Europe will be Islamic. Europe will be Islamic when this will go on, because the European people have almost no children, one or two. The Muslims there, they have 5, 6 to 10 children. And so it is, you can only make mathematics, and then you can see that they will be in the majority.
Well, he's not wrong. He's really not. But you're not allowed to say that right now in Western Europe. It's against the law. So the archbishop here, or the bishop rather, is getting himself into a world of trouble. He's being accused of hate speech now, simply for speaking truth about what's happening here. And let me say this, it's going to happen in this country as well. Because all you Protestants, and I will say this, all you Catholics, you stop giving birth. I mean, thank goodness you got the Mormons out there in Utah. They're popping out 5, 6, 7 kids. And then you got the Duggar. What are the Duggars? Do we know what religion they are? I mean, you got that bunch. But by and large, the Protestants and the Catholics are dying off because you folks are not procreating. I mean, sorry, I don't mean to offend anybody, but that's the truth. And so meanwhile, you've got Islam. And when you look at what's happening in places like, I don't know, you could say Dearborn and Detroit. I mean, it is literally, these are areas that are completely being overrun. They're installing where we used to have church bells. Now you've got prayer towers doing the Islamic call to prayer. Some of you may think that's a wonderful thing, and including many of you folks in the Alphabet activist community. And I would just remind you, take a very long, hard look at what happens when a country is overrun and completely controlled by the Muslim faith. Just take a look. And if I were you, I would consider living in a neighborhood that only has single-story structures, because they like to throw people off of buildings over in those countries. And the bishop here is raising a very valid argument. You know, a lot of people seem to think that that the days of conquering nations in the name of their religion are over, and they are going to be sadly, sadly mistaken. Oh, by the way, I want to play some Tulsi Gabbard here. You know what? Well, oh, here we go. Cut number 11.
Many of these European countries, and Zelensky himself, who claimed to be standing and fighting for the cause of freedom and democracy, when we actually look at what's happening in reality in these countries, as well as with Zelensky's government in Ukraine, is the exact opposite. You have the canceling of elections in Ukraine. You have political parties being silenced or even criminalized or thrown in prison. You have the freedom of religion, churches being shut down. You have political opposition being silenced. You have total government control of the media. We could go down a whole laundry list of issues that are against the values of democracy and freedom. So it really begs the question, as Vice President Vance said again in Munich, it's clear that they're standing against Putin. Obviously, that's clear. But what are they actually really fighting for? And are they aligned with the values that they claim to hold in agreement with us, the values that President Trump and Vice President Vance are standing for? And those are the values of freedom, of peace, and true security.
Well, there you go. And right now, I will just say that Europe is not. They're not about freedom. They're not about liberty. Quite frankly, they're behaving more like the communist every single day. And that's sad. All right, hang tight, everybody. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with us. By the way, we've got a great show coming up tonight on Newsmax, the Todd Stern Show. We're going to be previewing President Trump's big address tomorrow night. You know, some Democrats are going to boycott. It's pretty pitiful. Now, you'll be able to watch the president's address on Newsmax. So many people are making the switch from Fox News and CNN, and now they're tuning into Newsmax for the breaking news and information they really need. As a matter of fact, when you look at Reuters, for example, they say Newsmax is one of the top news brands in America. I love downloading the Newsmax app. I did that years ago. You can download it for free and start watching. I love it. It is so reliable. And you're going to be able to watch whatever you want to watch. Rob Schmidt, Greta, Rob Finnerty, Carl Higbee. You're going to be able to find out why millions of Americans have made the switch as well, even President Trump. Check us out on cable and satellite TV. Download the Newsmax app. You can watch me anytime, anywhere. And just remember that Newsmax is real news for real people. So Jasmine Crockett, who is the pride and joy of Rhodes College in Memphis, Tennessee, she is the Congress gal from Texas. Here's what she had to say about President Trump. Cut 12.
Unfortunately, we have someone that is occupying the White House, and as far as I'm concerned, he is an enemy to the United States. He swore an oath just like the rest of us. But right now, when you are literally putting us at risk, all because of what? Because you want to convince your followers that you should be a dictator too, that you should never leave the White House because you don't believe that elections should take place. I don't really understand what is going on, and I don't know what it's going to take to get people to wake up.
What is she talking about? And no, Ben, I am not being critical of the Lone Star State. I love Texas. I'm saying this particular woman represents the area known as Texas.
Well, she kind of fits both. She is either really desperate for campaign cash or she's actually an idiot.
She's like, I would go with the latter. Okay. And she may be broke, too.
Because she's doing really well with fundraising. Don't sleep on this woman. I think a person like Congressman or Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett, what she sees is a lack of leadership in. There's a vacuum of really someone stepping forward in the Democrat Party right now. And she's filling that void. She's filling that space. And that's why she's all over the airwaves. So the question is this the new face, the new spokeswoman for the Democrat Party, which is in shambles after November 5th?
Well, it's a fair point. The reality is, when you look at all of the things that are being done, by the way, not that much money is being trimmed out of the spending. And that's disappointing on, you know, but again, I'm willing to give it some time here. But the reality is that Trump hasn't done anything that would remotely qualify him to be a dictator. At all.
No. And this is just fear-mongering. I watched the Sunday shows this weekend. Everybody from NBC's Meet the Press to ABC's George Stephanopoulos. And there are two talking points. This Sunday was Trump is a Putin puppet. And the other one is Trump is cutting Medicare and Medicaid. Those were the two big stories. And both of them, Todd, were objectively lies if you look at the actual policies of this administration.
I just have a question for these people.
Sure.
And I don't mean to be insensitive, but I'm sort of in a foul mood today. So
we need to get them coffee, guys.
So bear with me.
Okay.
Bear with me for just a moment here. So let's call their bluff. Let's say that we need to go ahead and go to war with Russia. All right? Because that's ultimately what this is all about, right?
We have to defend Ukraine.
Against who?
Well, we just have to defend Ukraine and their borders.
Against who? Who is the invader?
The other country.
Name the other country.
Well, it's a big country.
Name the country.
They love vodka.
Name the country.
Russia.
I'm sorry, what? What? It's Russia, ladies and gentlemen, Russia. So let's just say, okay, fine. United States, we hop in there, we go to war with Russia, they start hurling bombs at us. Is it worth it? Let me ask you this. What happens when Putin decides he wants to launch nukes at the United States, which he has threatened to do? Are you guys okay with losing, I don't know, Los Angeles, New York? San Francisco. Well, now come to think of it. Oh, no, no, no. Stay focused, Starnes. I'm just asking here, ladies and gentlemen, at the end of the day, there will be great loss of life. And if there is a World War III, you think that war isn't going to be waged here on American soil? Are you foolish? Because that's exactly where it's going to be fought. And by the way, that was the threat. That was the threat that set Donald Trump off. When Zelensky talked about, oh, you got this great big ocean, beautiful ocean between you and me, but that ocean will not stop the bad guys from coming out to America.
That was pretty well done, Todd. Are you learning Ukrainian? That's really well done.
And that's, well, thank you. And that's when Donald Trump said, what you talking about, Zelensky? What you talking about? And that was a threat.
Yeah.
But what Zelensky is saying is there will be bloodshed here in this country. And I'm just asking you, ladies and gentlemen, is it really worth it to go to war? Is it really worth it? And for that matter, I do believe back in the 1960s that there was an effort by the communists to turn Cuba, as JFK called that nation, called it Cuba, and we nearly went to war over that because we could not tolerate it. This is a Democrat president, by the way, saying that we could not tolerate having Soviet missiles directed at the United States just 90 miles from Florida. So I don't want to say in Putin's defense, but in Putin's defense, he didn't want NATO. And again, the whole point of all of this is to make Ukraine and bring them into NATO. Putin didn't want a NATO country as a neighbor. I mean, it's really that simple. But people don't want to, they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to think about it. But if we go to war, there very well could be a nuclear exchange. And the question is, are you guys okay with that? Is it okay worth losing a couple of major American cities for the people of Ukraine, where the average age of the soldiers being recruited now in their 40s? Did you see the video over the weekend? They were literally, they're going door to door. And now they're literally dragging men, including one with Down syndrome, out of their homes.
It's really insane that there is a realignment happening, and it's not the realignment that the Democrats like to talk about, this geopolitical realignment that the USA is now siding with Russia. The realignment is that Republicans and the grand old party were siding with anti-war. That's all we want. Whatever happened to Democrats being the anti-war party?
Just think about this for a minute. Whoops. Why did we go to a war in Iraq? Why did we go to war in Iraq?
To fight terrorism.
How did that turn out for us? We had no business being in that country. None whatsoever.
Build democracy.
But, Todd, come on now. Everybody knows that Saddam Hussein was just such a bad, bad man. He was killing folks. And, well, you know what? Yes, he was a bad, bad man.
But if the people of Iraq wanted to get rid of the bad, bad man, that is their responsibility. That is their fight, not ours. And the only reason that Dick Cheney and George W. went in to Iraq is for payback. They felt like that HW should have gone all the way in and dethroned Saddam Hussein back in the day. And they didn't do it. That's all that was. George W. was saying, got to do it for my daddy. Got to get my daddy some vengeance.
Yeah.
It's some strategery.
Well, it turns out that democracy building is a great concept, but in all reality, has it worked in a lot of these conflicts? Because this is what they were set to do, that we want to give the people of Iraq, Afghanistan, the ability to elect their own democratic leaders. Like, that is what we were told. And that's why we had to go in and set up our American principles in the Middle East. That is exactly the framework happening in Eastern Europe right now. They're saying, how dare President Trump tell a leader like Zelensky what to do with his country when his country is on the precipice of being attacked once again or continue to be attacked by Vladimir Putin. What I find just really hypocritical, Todd, wasn't it Joe Biden that was ordering and demanding Bibi Netanyahu while he was in the throes of his war against Hamas? That it was Joe Biden, pardon, that was ordering Bibi Netanyahu, you do it this way, you don't go into Rafah. If you go into Rafah, we will not give you the weapons to defend yourselves against these tariffs. You have President Trump ordering around. Yes, he was ordering Zelensky within the Oval Office on Friday. And now everybody's saying that this is President Trump siding with Vladimir Putin. It's hypocritical.
Here is an NBC News report when Joe Biden lost his temper with Zelensky. Cut number five.
President Biden and the Ukrainian president back in June. What do we know about that conversation, Courtney?
Yeah, that's right, Kate. So in this conversation, President Biden called President Zelensky to tell him about a roughly $1 billion package of additional equipment and weapons for the Ukrainian military coming from the United States. During the course of the call, President Zelensky continued, according to a number of officials who we spoke with who are familiar with the call, President Zelensky continued to talk about the additional equipment and weapons and support that he and his military needed. According to these officials, they said that President Biden finally just got frustrated and lost his temper and told President Zelensky, look, you could be a little bit more grateful. The reason that this story is interesting to us and is something that we are reporting on and officials are speaking to us about is because it shows that all these months ago, President Biden already realized that there was going to be a point where the American people, members of Congress, where people would start potentially pushing back on all these billions and billions of dollars of aid and equipment that the U.S. has been providing to Ukraine. And he knew that the narrative out there needed to be that the Ukrainian people and President Zelensky were grateful for it if the support was going to continue at that same level.
Wow. How bad is it when even Joe Biden was yelling at the guy? I mean, come on.
Well, with that same logic, Todd, that makes President Biden a Russian puppet, right?
It's true.
Right? Like, he's obviously siding because you can't criticize the suit guy.
I like puppets.
Yeah. Imagine Joe Biden yelling at Zelensky. Can you imagine that phone call?
Baby,
send me a thank you card.
He didn't even do that.
Wow.
Hey, I'm going to get in trouble for this, Dieter.
Todd, it's only Monday.
I know. Can we talk about Pam Bondi for just a moment? I mean, Laura Loomer's lost her. She's done. I mean, people are now openly calling for her to be replaced. Pam Bondi. So she goes on Jesse. First of all, she went on a Fox News show before Jesse Waters and said she had seen the files. They were disgusting and they were going to take immediate action. So then she goes on Jesse Waters' show and she says the same thing. And then
that she was going to release them on what would have been Thursday of last week.
Yeah, Thursday of last week. She never did. Instead, all of these social media influencers got called and they were told that they were given these binders, and the binders had no new information in it at all. They were used basically as a prop, these social media influencers.
Not just the binders, yes, the influencers, all of the above.
They were all, yeah.
Yeah.
So then she was saying that, well, it turns out that we didn't have all the information, that there are thousands of pages that are in the Southern District of New York FBI field office. And she told Cash Patel in a letter that was posted on X, you have until 8 a.m. to respond, and I want all of this on my desk. And that was what, Thursday? Thursday.
Yeah.
And it is now Monday.
And she went on Levin on Fox over the weekend.
On Saturday.
And
Sunday.
Todd? There was nothing. There was no new update.
Nope.
I mean, it was about a 4-minute interview. We have all of it. Our team went through it. We were trying to find, you know, the moment where she reveals them over Levin's show.
But she did say something on Levin. She now says that she hasn't seen the files. So which is it? You've seen the files? You haven't seen the files? Do you need to go back home to Florida?
I don't think we're ever going to see the files.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah. This was... This was a joke.
All right. Here's what Pam Bondi said on February 21st compared to March 1st. Cut number 8, please.
The DOJ may be releasing the list of Jeffrey Epstein's clients. Will that really happen?
It's sitting on my desk right now to review. That's been a directive by President Trump. I'm reviewing that. I'm reviewing JFK files, MLK files. That's all in the process of being reviewed because that was done at the directive of the president from all of these agencies.
And of course, you've seen the very strong letter. We will get everything. We will have it in our possession. We will redact it, of course, to protect grand jury information and confidential witnesses, but the American people have a right to know. And Donald Trump is the most transparent president in our nation's history. So not only will America get the full Epstein files, they will get JFK, they will get Martin Luther King.
By the way, I'm hearing from some sources I have that we're not going to be seeing either of those files either. So I'm just curious, do you think Pam Bondi is in over her head here, or do we give her more time? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stern's Radio Show. Let's go to the phone lines. Dan in New Hampshire. Hi, Dan. What's on your mind?
Okay, I was calling because people got to understand, if corrupt Joe Biden, who was installed, and puppet master Obama, who orchestrated this war, pushing Ukraine to join the NATO, when everybody knows that Ukraine is a buffer country between Russia and NATO countries, and Zelensky could have stopped this war by telling Joe Biden that he wouldn't join NATO, okay? But the thing is he's a controlled puppet by the globalists. Now, in when you were talking about earlier, I think it was 2008 or 2012, there was two videos, okay, of Putin exposing globalist corrupt politicians destroying our country and dirty national media heads for pedophilia. And the other thing people got to realize is Putin has been keeping central banking and the globalists, the Rothschilds, out of Russia. That's the thing there. Okay, people don't understand that. Okay, and in February 22, 2014, Obama participated to overthrow Yanukovych. Okay, he was the leader of Ukraine, and it was there was an intercepted phone call between Victoria Nuland and U.S. Ambassador.
Well, let me jump in here because the computer's going to cut us off, but I want to finish your thought here, Dan. And Victoria Nuland is one of the people that was in that private conversation that Zelensky had before going into the meeting with Trump. Look, that was all a big setup, and they've got to be held accountable. Dan, appreciate the call. Folks, hang tight. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Big Show. It is a busy, busy news day, folks. Welcome to the program. By the way, don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. So look forward to seeing you guys on TV a little bit later on this afternoon. So look, the fight over transgender athletes continues. And on this program, it is very simple. God made male and he made female. He made men's bathrooms and ladies' bathrooms, male locker rooms, female locker rooms, and that's how things ought to be. And it seems to be pretty simple for, I think, the average American citizen. But there is a lot of blowback. Right now, we've got a big fight underway in the state of Maine, where the governor and Democrats are waging war against President Trump and his executive orders. And it's happening in other school districts across the nation. Well, now the Senate is voting on a bill that would ban transgender athletes from women's sports. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and welcome in Macy Petty from Concerned Women for America, also a former volleyball player at Lee University in Cleveland, Tennessee, which happens to be my alma mater. Macy, good to have you with us today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I didn't realize that you were a fellow Flame.
A fellow Flame. Go Flames, indeed. And, of course, you guys, I mean, the volleyball team at Lee was like, I mean, you guys were just winning every match. I mean, you guys were like the power on campus when it came to sports.
Well, thank you. I certainly enjoyed my time there, and it was an honor to wear the jersey.
So here you are at Concerned Women for America, and you're watching what's happening really at universities all over the country. How big of a problem is this?
It is a major issue. I think it's one that is much larger than big media wants you to know about. I actually had to play against a male athlete during my recruiting process to Lee. So this was 5 or 6 years ago now, in front of college scouts, had to play against a male athlete because rulemakers didn't want to clarify that boys have to play on boys' teams. But again, so that just shows you this issue has been going on much longer than people realize, but it's happening at every level in every sport and in every state until President Trump came in and said, this is not happening under my watch. And he signed a beautiful executive order that now we're getting to see enforced. And like you said, there's pushback already because there's some people out there that are just completely intent on putting men and women's sports in locker rooms.
And I think a big look, as much as I love the executive order, the reality is unless this becomes law, unless this is codified, then the next president can come in. And if he's a Democrat, he can actually do away with that executive order. So I think that's one of the reasons why it is so vitally important that the Senate vote happens.
That's exactly right. The House already passed a similar bill called the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act, and now the Senate can move on S9, like Title IX, which is really fun. And it just extends those protections that are already promised under Title IX, but clarifies that those are for women, that men have to play on men's teams, yeah. Women have to play on women's teams. And it's the protection that women and girls deserve, but are already afforded under Title IX. But like I said, past presidents have been unwilling to afford them those protections.
You know, it's interesting because you went to a Christian school, and by and large, you know, your teams would be from similar, you know, or like-minded schools, but there have to be those instances where you guys might be playing against another school that has, you know, a man on the team. So I'm wondering, is that a problem, something that even Christian schools need to contend with, and they need to have a plan for what happens if they land in a situation like that?
That's exactly right, especially when it comes to tournaments. You don't always know who you're going to be playing until you show up to the court. This happened out in California. California Baptist is a great Bible-believing school, and a lot of the female athletes are fellow Christians who believe in God's design for men and women, but then they showed up to the court, and in a tournament, like I said, they didn't necessarily know who they were going to be playing ahead of time, but they show up and they're playing San Jose State University, and they're watching the team warm up. They don't know a lot about them. It's the beginning of the season, so they don't have a lot of materials to scout the other team, but they're watching them warm up, and they notice that one of the athletes is playing unlike anyone they've ever seen play before, and it's because it was a male athlete. He goes by the name Blair Fleming, and they had no idea that this was happening until they showed up to the court.
And it's been so encouraging to see even some state schools pushing back, and there are a lot of schools out in the Mountain West Division that refuse to play volleyball against this particular team, but time after time, Mason, we've seen this, especially at the high school level. You would think the parents would be willing to speak out and take a stand, but a lot of times people are just silent. They're not saying anything at all.
Yeah, unfortunately, this burden has fallen all the way down to the female athletes themselves. It's up to them to forfeit their own opportunities to stand up for themselves and say, no, I deserve better than to have a dude hit the ball in my face, because rulemakers aren't standing up for them. Their universities aren't standing up for them. And my goodness, we definitely saw the White House wasn't standing up for them in this previous administration. So it was only up to them. But I'm so excited that they finally have an opportunity to have some people speak for them here in the nation's capital. Not only is the president has a bold defense of female athletes, but also we're seeing Congress move in this way. And it'll be interesting to see later tonight when the Senate votes on the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act, to see if any Democrat senators have their backs also.
How important was it to have the support of people like Senator Tommy Tuberville out of Alabama?
Oh my goodness. Senator Tuberville has been such a leader on this issue. He, I know, has had a lot of personal interactions with female athletes. He understands the world of sports and knows that sports are separated for a reason. He coached football, and there's no way he'd have a man tackle a woman, but that's the day that we're living in today. So I'm so grateful for his support. He has just been a fierce fighter for the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act. I know that he and his staff have just been relentlessly fighting for this, and I'm so glad that we finally get to see it brought to the floor this evening.
And what is the Concern Women for America? I know you guys have been in the fight for a very long time now. What exactly has been the role of CWA in fighting and defending women's sports?
CWA actually was very early on this issue and has been fighting it for almost a decade now. They were actually there. I was able to join them at the Georgia Tech Aquatic Center when the NCAA so infamously handed a male athlete a women's national championship. They were there to fight it then. They were there years before that fighting it, but they're still here, have been fighting on Capitol Hill. We have CWA members who have been sending thousands and thousands and thousands of calls to senators urging them to vote in favor of S9. They've been hitting this at all angles here, of course, in the nation's capital, but also grassroots out in the states.
All right. Macy Petty, everybody, from Concerned Women for America. She's a legislative strategist, also a spokesperson on women's sports. Macy, we're going to leave it there. Thanks for coming on, and go Flames.
Go Flames. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks a lot. Well, it's always fun to have a fellow alum. Lee University is a great school out there in eastern Tennessee, if you're looking for a good school. All right, here's what we're going to do. We've got to take a quick break here, folks, and reset. Also, an opportunity, and you heard Macy mention this, Senate will be voting on this tonight. You need to be calling Capitol Hill to make sure your senators are voting in support of women's athletes, and you need to be doing that during the commercial break. All right, again, our number, 901-260-5926. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Now, you guys know that I'm a coffee snob. I am. I love coffee, and it takes a lot for me to get, and I'm also kind of like, once I find something I like, I don't waver, I just stick with it. So it really has to be a good cup of coffee for me to make a switch. And I'm excited to tell you folks that I've actually made a switch. Now, I've got to tell you about this great new coffee. It's called Wired Two Fish Coffee. And what I love about it, first of all, it's a great cup of coffee. I mean, a very good cup of coffee. Number two, it's also a Christian company, and I love that. As a matter of fact, Wired Two Fish Coffee, they actually give back 25% of their profits to faith-based companies, and I just think that's tremendous. They're also really big on being conservationists, good stewards of what God has created for us. And so they're all about that, and it's really giving back, and I just love that. So look, I drink coffee every single day. I know you do as well. So why not drink a delicious cup of coffee that supports your favorite pastime and Christian values? So I want you to go to their website and check them out. It's called, the website, it's a little tricky, wired2fishcoffee.com. Wired, the number two, fishcoffee.com. That's Wired, the number two, fishcoffee.com. And use the code STARNS. Now, when you use that code, you're going to get 10% off your first order. May I recommend the Dark Roast? You're going to love it. It's going to keep you up. It's going to get you going in the morning. And again, it is a Christian company, and they're doing a lot more than just selling coffee. They're giving back. They're making a difference. They're sharing the gospel message, and that is a big deal for us. So, again, check them out, Wired, the number two, fishcoffee.com. That's wired2fishcoffee.com. All right, welcome back, everybody. Oh, by the way, I remember Chris Cluey. He was the former Vikings punter that got arrested at the Huntington Beach, California City Council meeting. Anyway, he got all upset because they were installing a MAGA plaque at the library.
Mm-hmm.
He got fired.
Oh, yeah.
He was a high school football coach. Jeez, Lou, you can't be doing that. Wait,
this was the ex-NFL dude?
Yeah, Chris Cluey. Okay. Yeah, that's him.
Mm, yeah. Better luck with your next gig.
Mm-hmm. They had to haul his butt out of there. I got to tell you, I don't think he was a good coach. I mean, all it took was like one guy to, you know, like, and he was on the floor.
Yeah. If you're an example for these young boys that you're trying to teach how to play football, you can't be screaming at your city council members that they're all Nazis. Just not a great look.
So here's what I'm having trouble getting coming to terms with. So there are a lot of things that we attack the Democrats for,
mm-hmm.
and a lot over the years. And now when the Republicans are doing the same thing, now we're being told if we call that out, we're closet Democrats. And I bring this up because there's a new story. I guess Elon is pumping out the babies. Well, at least he's the inseminator.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we ought to call it, the inseminator.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Instead of the Terminator, he is the inseminator.
So Elon has now welcomed his 14th child.
Wait, another one?
Yeah, number 14, yeah.
Okay, so you had the St. Clair chick, and now this is another one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... This is Siobhan, is it Zillis? I'm not sure who she is.
All the babies and the baby mamas, their names sound like they could be from Mars.
Yeah, so they've had four kids together. I'm trying to keep track here. But anyway, the whole point of this is, if this had been a Democrat, every conservative Republican would be up in arms about family values.
But it's an Elon Musk baby.
So... you know what's going to be tough is when Elon gets ready to retire and they're going to be fighting for the company. You know, who's going to get control of, you know, the company?
Yeah, well, he's on track to being a trillionaire, so I think everybody's going to have enough of that money. It is an interesting point. He took the verse in the Bible, and of course, I'm a bad Christian, so I don't know the verse off the top of my head. What is it? Blessed
go
be the
forth
fruit.
And multiply.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, but not with multiple women.
Oh, wait, that was part of the
verse. I think
you got
to just, you know, nail it down to just one. You can't be nailing. Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
So anyway, he and this current woman, they share children together. They have Strider and Azure. They're twins. And Arcadia.
These sound like cicadas or constellations. Very interesting names.
Wow, it's a lot of kids. I mean, the guy's busy. I don't know how he does it.
This is how they used to do it in the Bible times, Todd. I was just reading Leviticus, and he's a player from Leviticus. Mm. And they had it with multiple wives. You know, the tribes of Elon.
So Grimes and Musk, that's another one. All right, they've got three kids, including X. That's the one that goes to Trump with all the little, at all the White House.
Yeah, kids. He's like the Benjamin... coat of many colors one.
And then there's one called, is it AI, A12, and something, another son called Techno, I'm not making this up, Techno Mechanicus. That's the name of the child, age
mm-hmm.
two,
mm-hmm.
a.k.a. Tau, and Exa Dark Sedrial. Sedrial? I don't know, age
you need
three.
To brush up on your Greek.
Is that Greek?
I think so.
I think that's tech talk.
Oh, yeah.
Siobhan is the mother of four of Elon's 14 kids. It's kind of like the Duggars. Maybe they should do like a reality TV show.
Jim Bob would never. Jim Bob gave it to Michelle, and that was it. He didn't have 14 now, baby mama Michelles.
Now, wait a second, because there's a controversy involving another. So this woman, Ashley St. Clair,
yeah.
And she gave birth to child number 13 just 5 months ago.
Yeah.
And that son's name is RSC. I don't know what that means.
Just at this point, can we name it Grok? Like, that's the obvious name.
Oh, we got to have a Grok. Maybe that's number 15.
Yeah, Grok, Siri.
So on Friday, so now she's saying that the baby is Elon's and that she wants him to support the baby. And now a judge has ordered Elon to appear in court over a custody hearing
mm-hmm.
for RSC or RC Cola. That'd be a great name for you. Bubba Earl RC Cola Starnes, you get down here, boy.
So I think the question is, you're saying He's a morally conflicted man, but do we welcome the morally conflicted?
How dare you? Who do you think you are, leftist?
I know I'm not fully MAGA enough. I'm sorry. You can't be doing this.
No, you're going to get... What about Moon Pie? That'd be a great... You know, it's too bad Elon wasn't Southern. I mean, I know he's South African, but he should have been Southern. He could have been like, RC Cola, and then there's his sister Moon Pie.
Moonshine and
Mountain Dew. Oh, get on up here. Mountain Dew.
Little smoky. Yeah.
Where's collards? Collards.
BBQ. Yeah. But he's not. He's from a different planet. I'm telling you, I wonder, and this is going to get me a lot. This is going to get me in a lot of water, Todd. Hot water. Sometimes I worry that he's so smart, he could be, I'm not saying the Antichrist, that's not what I'm saying at all, because people are going to get really upset with him. But he's so smart, he scares me, and I don't want to be around him. Like, if he came in the studio, I'd be like, you could talk to Todd, but be careful around Todd, because I've got to protect the talent. I've got to protect you, and he just does not seem human to me.
So you think that he has Antichrist-like
characteristics?
Qualities?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's smart, he knows all. And soon he will control all.
But that's a problem.
He controls all of the technology for the federal government right now.
Exactly. Which
and you
concerns
think that's
me.
A problem?
I think it's a bit concerning.
Really?
Only because his views are anti-God. He's not like the biggest God guy. He wants to basically heal everything with the body just through science. It just makes me a little uncomfortable.
Mm. I think he should have been Southern. Those names would have been a lot more interesting. I'm just saying.
Yankee?
I am concerned about that one, though.
Yeah.
The one, the dark side child. That's never good. And Techno Mechanicus.
Anyways, congratulations right. to Baby 14.
Well done. All right. We'll be right back. Hey, Ben Dieter, have you noticed all these... And we warned people last week this was going to happen. I was watching the headlines, the news all over the Republicans under attack at their town hall meetings. But what they don't say is these are all paid Democrat operatives that are showing up. They
so
leave
those,
that part out.
And, you know, you reflect that with the New York Times polling, which just came out, and it shows that Americans are very confident with Elon Musk and slashing the federal government, all these ABC agencies. So it seems to me if the majority of Americans are supportive of Elon and Doge, these quote-unquote Republican constituents showing up at these town hall meetings aren't really Republicans.
No.
But it could just be me.
No, no. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to our good friend from East Tennessee, Congresswoman Diana Harshbarger. Congresswoman, good to have you with us today.
Hey, it's always a pleasure to talk to my favorite fellas.
Did you hear that, Dieter? We're two of her favorite fellas.
Yeah, Congresswoman, you've got to stop. I'm blushing over here. Oh. We like you, too.
Bless your heart, Ben.
Oh, Lord. I'll explain what that means after the show, Dieter. So, Congresswoman, I couldn't help but notice your recent town hall made some headlines because you had all these rabble-rousers out there. Are you sensing, are we on the right track here that these are really Democrats?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I even asked them at one point, I gave them the guidelines of the meeting. I said, look, if you yell, if you talk over me or anybody that's asking a question, you start yelling or you're disrespectful. I said, these fine gentlemen that are policemen back here are just going to take you outside. We're in an agriculture center, and you can scream till the cows come home. The only one's going to hear you is livestock. So what they did, Todd, is that they were probably paid Soros or MoveOn.org protesters because I had a buddy that saw Davidson County tags toward Nashville. These people were not constituents, and they are showing up in very red districts to make a scene, to start talking over anybody who has legitimate questions, to make a scene to say, hey, even red districts disagree with what the president and Elon Musk is doing. So, yeah, it was just the show. And those people don't live in East Tennessee. Are you kidding? They had purple hair, teal hair. I've never seen them in my life. So, yeah, they're fake protesters.
That's how you, it's the hair color and the smell. And that's how you know.
Oh, Lord. Well, nose rings do not fly in East Tennessee, okay? And well, every and now and again you'll see one, but Lord have mercy. No, they're not from my area.
I didn't think so, Congresswoman. I didn't think so. You know what you should have done is Glenn Jacobs. You should have called Glenn Jacobs up, you know, the mayor of Knox County, and said, hey, Glenn, I need your help up here. I think he'd be more than happy to give some to heave-ho.
Well, you know what? The two guys from the county, the sheriff's department, they're pretty hefty. So, you know, I don't worry about that. That's why my slogan is Tennessee Tough. I thought, you know, if they want to go up against me, then they're going to have a problem. So you just have to work out, like the FBI is going to get the USC to come and train them. Maybe we need to do that in Congress, too.
Well, there you go. I am curious. So what are you hearing from your actual constituents about the president's policies?
Well, they love it. And, you know, you knew that there was fraud, waste, and abuse in the government system. You see it all the time. You just didn't know how deep it was. And as I tried to explain to them, Elon Musk cannot fire anybody. He cannot take a penny. All that the people that are working with him are doing is uncovering the atrocities of the fraud, waste, and abuse in our government systems. And it's up to the heads of those departments, those elected secretaries, and Congress to deal with it. So it is, it's deep, and this is just the tip of the iceberg, and you wonder why we're $36 trillion in debt, Todd. Well,
yeah.
Here's your sign. It's all this fraud, waste, and abuse that's been going on.
Congresswoman Diana Harshbarger is joining us today on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And Congresswoman, I know you've also been very, very upset over Ukraine and the behavior of Volodymyr Zelensky in the Oval Office last Friday.
Well, yes. And, you know, I first knew that there was a problem when he addressed Congress in the chamber, and he came in wearing his military-style outfit, which is really he's branding himself. It's what he was doing. And that's still what he's doing. You show up in the Oval Office and you have fatigues on or whatever he had on. That is not appropriate. And when he addressed us in the chamber, he had his military men sitting in member seats within the chamber. And I'm like, who are these people? Did they get clearance? And it's disrespectful. And you saw it. He talked over the president multiple times. And he doesn't want the war to end. Why would he want... That takes him out of the spotlight, and it shows that he doesn't really control things, and he doesn't want that. He wants to continue on with war, and Ukraine has always been a corrupt country. You would hope that it would have changed with him being elected president, and I had hope for that, but man, why do you not want peace for your precious people that have elected you? And now what? He's got... You can't even have a free and fair election. And I remember a tweet that went out that said, if you don't give us money, we won't have a free and fair election. And right now, I don't think they can elect a new leader because what is it he's got? He's got the military freeze on right now. You can't do anything, basically, without him allowing you to do it.
And that's what concerns me. And now you have all these Hollywood folks saying, oh, we've got to give cash to Ukraine. You know what? You give your money to Ukraine. As a matter of fact, why don't you go over there and fight for him? I mean, if you care that much about it, get over there. There's no reason why our sons and daughters, though, should be fighting that war.
No. And how many young men and women have died because of it? You know, and what struck me initially, it's when Victoria Sparks, the first Romanian elected to Congress, she was scrolling through her phone, and I saw those dead children, same ages as my grandchildren, in the streets, and I wept. I could not hold it back, and I thought, how atrocious is Putin to do that? But when you continue to allow that and you won't allow peace talks to pursue, I have no respect for the man. I have no respect for him or Putin. And I'm like, well, you know, you can lead a horse to water, you can't make him drink. What can I say? So, you know, it's bad. It would be a good deal for that country to do the critical minerals mining. I haven't voted to give them one dime of aid to Ukraine because there's no accountability measures associated with that. And this is a way for them to pay us back, our taxpayers back, and then make a brand new life for their countrymen. And he has walked away from the table and said, we have negotiation powers now. We can go after Putin. No, you are there to make a peace deal, but he doesn't want that.
That's it. That's it. All right, Congresswoman Diana Harshbarger from East Tennessee. Congresswoman, hope to see you back on the show very soon.
Well, you know it. You just call and I'll come on.
I love it.
You all have a fantastic day.
All right, you too. Congresswoman Diana Harshbarger, East Tennessee. I love her. She's great. She just says what's on her mind.
It's so different to see our districts where in East Tennessee, for those maybe I'm not as familiar with Tennessee, her district is it God's country? Do they call it God's country? It's pretty close. You've got the Smokies and you've got Gatlinburg.
Dollywood.
It bleeds red, white, and blue. And then you go the way over to West Tennessee where we're at. District 8. It's Todd's district. Yeah. And we just bleed.
It's true.
Yeah, we just bleed.
It's true.
We love Memphis, though. I think we have better food than they do over in East Tennessee. We've got better barbecue.
That's true. There is a place called Powell's, though. If you're ever over in East Tennessee, it's called Powell's. P-A-L-S.
Okay.
And it's a drive-thru, but it's a hot dog and burger joint, and it's worth a trip.
Mm-hmm.
It's worth a trip.
You know, I went through Gatlinburg not too long ago, right before the election, Todd, and you would have thought it was a Trump rally. Every Jeep, I guess Jeeps are a big deal in Gatlinburg, didn't know that. Every one of those Jeeps had MAGA stuff everywhere. Just a very, very nice place. I'm sure a lot of people have been to Gatlinburg.
I want to play some audio here. This is a woman who was on TikTok, and you never know what you're going to get on TikTok. She was describing what happened in the Oval Office meeting. Let's take a listen.
Zelensky decided he wanted to invite the media in, and Donald J. Trump and Vance was like, that's fine, we ain't got nothing to hide. We don't know why you want the media in here in our meeting, but okay, that's fine, we don't care. So the media was there, so we saw the whole thing unfold. What really happens behind closed doors when you see them presidents and leaders really negotiating and going back and forth, that's really what be happening behind closed doors. It's not nice, it's not pretty. Okay, I digress. So everyone was there, so they got to witness it, and they were basically saying, Trump said, look, we want a ceasefire. We want peace talks, all of that. But what's going to happen, you're going to give us a stake in your minerals because we've sent you a lot of money. We sent you troops to a war that you knew you weren't going to win. So in order to kind of even the field, kind of get that back, how about you just give us a stake in your minerals? Well, Zelensky started kind of talking with a little air in his chest. I think he had a lot of pride. I think that's what it was. And Vance kind of shut that down. Vance started asking him questions like, come on, man, we done did all this for you. He said, you kind of arrogant. You got a lot of air in your chest and you ain't even said thank you. We basically done saved you and you ain't even said thank you. You real arrogant around here. That's basically what Vance was saying. So Zelensky kind of decided he wanted to talk even more greasy, right? So he went to talking, and then at the end he said, and you gonna feel it too. That's when Trump stepped in and was like, ho, player, wait a minute, you ain't even in a position to tell us. You can't tell us what we gonna feel, because in the card game where we playing cards, you ain't even got no cards. If it wasn't for us, you wouldn't be sitting here right now. And Trump said out his mouth, he said, that stupid-ass president. He didn't say stupid-ass, but he said stupid. He said, that stupid president sent you all of that money and sent you them troops. They kept talking, and Trump was like, let's stop that right now. We just gonna stop what you telling us what we gonna feel, because you ain't in a position to tell us. All right, fast forward. They kept talking. They kept going back and forth. Trump said, look, you toying around with World War III here. We trying to give you some peace talks. We trying to get a ceasefire going on around here. And you walking up in here with the air in your chest. Like, what's going on, my guy? He kept talking greasy. And Trump said, look, if it weren't for what we sent you, you wouldn't have lasted 2 weeks against Putin. He said, I done talked to Putin. Putin ready for a ceasefire. What's your problem? When he said, you wouldn't last 2 weeks against Putin, he gonna double down. Zelensky gonna double down and say, Putin said we wouldn't last 3 days. Donald Trump shot back and said, you wouldn't even last it that long. At the end of it all, because he had so much air in his chest and so arrogant, Donald Trump said, all right, you can leave, player, but don't call us back until you're ready for a ceasefire or talk some peace or do some negotiating, because this what you're doing, he said, you're not going to last, and you're probably going to start World War III. So get your head right, player, and come back and holler at us.
Oh, I love that analysis, player. I love that. But, Dieter, I'm having a problem. I was trying to look at the, what does that mean to have an air in your chest?
I'm not sure.
I looked it up thinking, what is the slang street talk? And it stands, well, it says it means you either have a collapsed lung or trapped gas.
Oh.
He got some air in his chest.
That's a new one.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And talking greasy. I'm not familiar with that term. But I like where she was going with it. You know, it's interesting. I think just about everybody in America, except the media and the Democrats, get what really happened in that Oval Office meeting.
Is it true that he called J.D. Vance a bad word in Ukraine?
A blanking blank. Yeah.
Why isn't that the top story? Because imagine if the roles were reversed and President Trump would have just called Zelensky a bleeping bleep.
I would have. You know, he was like little mini-me sitting there. His poor feet didn't even reach the floor. It's really sad.
It's like a Geico.
I'm a little man. Do not mark my feet.
Yeah.
I have pudgy hands.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
But it's too bad that somebody didn't translate that for J.D. Vance.
In real time.
Because Playa would have been picking up his teeth off the floor. I think there would have been, could you imagine that?
Was that maybe why the ambassador for Ukraine had her head in her lap? Like, maybe it wasn't because of Trump and the tag team with JD. It was more of...
Oh, yeah. You could tell. I was trying to read her lips.
Shut the actual up.
Oh, dear. Oh, no. What are you doing? Oh, we have blinked.
I think Mark in Georgia knows the...
Oh, let's go to Mark in Georgia.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Mark, welcome to the program. So you're going to help us out with the phrase air in your chest.
Please.
Yeah. Yes, Todd. When she's saying he was getting a lot of air in his chest, he was talking about, what she was talking about was that he was getting a big head about himself. He was starting to talk. To get air in your chest means to all of a sudden he's a big man. He's gonna talk real popular.
Okay, that makes Mark that kind of makes sense to me. So he's kind of getting the big head.
Yeah, he's getting a lot of air in his chest, like he's Superman. You know, like imagine Superman standing there and he's all proud and he's tall and he's commanding. That's what that means.
That makes sense. What was that? It sounded like.
Are you getting pulled over, Mark?
No, I'm a ticket writer here at the University of North Georgia, and my computer, for whatever reason, right now, takes the time to start scanning tags and giving me a violation.
I love it. I wonder if Mark could go around and just give tickets to the people who have the coexist stickers on the bumper. That's no, I'm just kidding.
Hey, Todd.
Yeah, Mark.
Hey, Todd. I'm the guy who called you about the. About that MTV thing with Celebrate Our Differences.
Oh yes, I remember. Yes, and we played that. And
yeah, you need to play it more.
Mark, Jimmy Chong.
Mark, just be easy on those college kids. I was once that college kid that didn't have the parking pass, and you guys nailed me a couple times. So maybe throw them a bone.
You know what I do? If I see them, I'll talk to them and say, "Hey, look. You need, this is what you did wrong. I'm going to void the ticket." I voided a lot of tickets, but
yeah.
When they just blatantly want a lie to my face, I just hand them the ticket. And they actually thank me for it, so that's fine.
Yeah, don't have time for that. Mark, you sound like a great guy.
You too, Ben. I'll talk to y'all soon, okay?
All right, Mark. Thanks for the call. All right, we got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. This is the Todd Stern Show.
We've got to celebrate our differences. We've got to celebrate our differences.
Ooga booga doo, ooga booga doo.
We've got to celebrate our differences.
Nacho taco, chimichanga.
Cause it's beautiful. sings together as one.
Folks, wow, that was fast. We've already got to wrap it up for the day, but we have all learned something new about having air in our chest. So there you go. We're working on greasy, though. So we're going to figure that out by tomorrow's show. In the meantime, folks, head over to ToddStearns.com. Welcome to all of our new listeners. And if you haven't already done so, be sure to check out our free newsletter. Sign up for that. Download our podcast. You're going to love it, folks. I can promise you that. And go check out some of the stories we got over at ToddStearns.com. Good reading. All right, folks, we'll see you tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. This is the Todd Stearns Show.